So we're starting a new topic, and that's Yesodot Isur Melacha B'Shabbat. What are the foundational reasons why we don't do Melacha on Shabbat? Now, we already defined, I talk differently now, right? Can you hear the difference? You thought you're picking up on that. I'm more informational. Right, so Melacha. Melacha, we said, refers to the 39 Melachot, the 39 forbidden labors that we don't do on Shabbat. What are some of the reasons that we don't do Melacha on Shabbat? Okay, so when you learn Hilchot Shabbat, the laws of Shabbat, you go through, this will be next semester, for those who are with me. If you've never been through a Hilchot Shabbat class, you must go through it. It's impossible to know how to keep Shabbat without going through a Hilchot Shabbat class, by the way. Impossible. Even by watching it. You can watch a person sit in a sukkah and figure out that way. You can watch a person eat matzah and figure out that way. But it's impossible to keep Shabbat or any of the usual holidays for that reason, because they also involve some of the 39 Melachot, without actually learning the laws. Okay? What we're looking at this semester is why. So when people learn the 39 laws of Shabbat, they always say to me, but why can't we do it? And I say, I don't have time to tell you. So this course is here to fill in that gap. This is the reason, or a few reasons, why we don't do Melacha on Shabbat. The first one is, Haydamut Lebor HaOlam, because we become like God. Let's see what that means. We know, the Pasuk tells us, in Bereishis, last week's Parsha, Bet Gimel, Ve'yavarech Elokim et Yom HaShvi. God blessed the seventh day. Now we spent quite a few classes discussing the idea of the blessing power of Shabbat, if you remember, and that'll be in your midterms as well, ladies. Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Barach, Hashem blessed, V'kidesh, and made holy et Yom HaShabbat, the Shabbat day, V'Yisrael, and the Jewish people, Ein chayvin el lishmor. The Jewish people have to guard. We're discussing between guarding, if you remember, coming back to you, and remembering. Guarding refers to refraining from the 39 melachot. That's the shmirah aspect. Zechira is doing the mitzvot aseh of Shabbat, right? Making kiddush, right? The sudat, havdalah, candles, right? Those are the zachor. We actively remember. So the Jewish people have to, this is from Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, from Chazal, the Jewish people are obligated to guard and to mekadesh, to make holy et Yom HaShabbat. That is the obligation that comes out from that pasuk. Okay? But it also says the following, follow inside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shamar v'get Yom HaShabbat. Wait a minute. Not only are we expected to keep the Shabbat and to guard it, we know that Hashem guarded the Shabbat as well. This is a little unusual. How did this turn up on the scene? We're not told that Hashem sits in a sukkah. We're not told that Hashem keeps kosher. We're not told that Hashem doesn't know. We're told that Hashem wears tefillin. That's another discussion, not for now. But we're told that Hashem kept Shabbat. Okay? So we learn the laws of Shabbat, because Hashem kept Shabbat. This is very unusual, and this does not really apply, right, to many of the mitzvot. I mean, sometimes it does. We know we do charity because Hashem does charity, right? We do chesed because Hashem does chesed. But here is something very specific. Here it's that's chesed in general. Here we're talking specifically about the Jewish people keeping Shabbat. So what is this idea? And we see the Chazal make a comparison between our keeping Shabbat, meaning staying away from the malachot, okay, staying away from the 39 forbidden activities, and Hashem doing it. V'Yisrael en chayvin el lishmor l'kadosh Shabbat. Teidash, again, you should know this is true, that we do it because God did it. Yes. Bara'eh, k'shayan nosein lehem es haman, arbim shana. You see, when Hashem gave the manna to the Jewish people for 40 years. And we spoke about the manna already before in relation to the bracha, the blessing that comes with the Shabbat. The manna was a clear example of that. He gave it to the Jewish people on the 6 days of creation. Over Shabbat, but on Shabbat, he didn't give it. Hashem stopped working. The shop closed. Hashem's manna store was, that's a good name for a restaurant actually, manna. Does that exist already? I'm sure someone's done that already. I've heard of a restaurant called manna. That'd be a good one, but it's got to be closed on Shabbat. That's kosher. It has to be, right? So Hashem's manna store. This is good, by the way. I'm giving you gold, by the way. Hashem's manna store was stopped. Wait a minute. We got a problem. What's the problem? We know that the manna could not be stored. It could not be refrigerated. You were given an omer gulgulet, and omer was given per head every single day. And if there was anything left over, which was forbidden, it rotted. And if there was any left in the fields, it dissolved and turned into little rivulets and was eaten by the animals, which, by the way, how the non-Jews got to taste the manna. They got to eat the animals, they ate the man, so they could taste it as well. Even they got a chush, a feel for this miraculous food. So what do the Jewish people do? The shops closed, what are we going to do? So Hashem did what? He gave us a, which is called in Hebrew a, Lecha Mishnah, right, which we discussed already, is the reason we have two loaves of bread at every meal on Shabbat as a commemoration. That's not the discussion right now, but that was the discussion we had, and that was the reason we do it. Okay? But still, Hashem could give us the manna. Hashem does things for us on Shabbat still. He still lets our hearts beat, right? There's lots of good stuff for us, right? He still brings down the rains, right, for our crops. But he said, you know what? I'm closing my store as well on Shabbat. Over Shabbat, lo yanotzein. Kevan, Shri Yisrael, Shabbat lefanav, Shoftu gamheim. So they saw, whoa, wait a minute. Hashem's stopping? We're stopping too. We are emulating God. God does it, we do it. A whole different aspect of Shabbat is we become like God. We become like Hashem. That's what it says. Shneimar, v'yishpesu ha'am b'yom ha'shvi. The Jewish people rested as well. So Hashem stops. We stop. Okay, we don't have anything to eat. No problem. Hashem says, I'm going to hook you up with a double portion on Fridays. So we're seeing already that there's some kind of connection between us, right, Carly? Phone away. Thank you, darling. Between us and Hashem's connection. Ve'elo amri b'fishav rabbi Isaac share. And follow the bottom of page 41. Al af goda le'inyan shel dlakat ner Shabbat. Now, let me ask you, before we get into it, let me ask you, let's think for a little bit. Sorry to make you think so early in the day. It's only 10:45, and the brains don't kick in till, you know, lunch, you know, and then it's only Monday morning, so I don't kick in till, like, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then it's already Thursday, and we're getting ready for Shabbat, so I don't think at all during the week. Sorry to make you do this, but let's do it together. If I were to ask you, this is actually going to have many, many practical halakhic implications. This is a very important question. And it's actually going to separate the Orthodox out from every other sect in Judaism as well. So what I'm about to ask you is not just a theoretical question. It's going to have major implications. And it's going to have major implications when it comes to inviting non-religious guests to your home on Shabbat and everything that comes with that, which all of you, I'm sure, have had with family. Yeah? Non-religious family coming to you or friends or something. Have you experienced this? Yes, Rabbi?
Yes, Rabbi.
Okay, so we have experienced that. Okay. So here's the question I have to ask you. We discussed Shamor and Zachor. Right? Shamor and Zachor. So we said Shamor means what? What is it referring to? Guarding. Which is? Refraining from 39 malachot. Yeah? Is that right?
Yes.
Good. So, Lametes Malachas, right, is forbidden. Then we said there's a whole other side, which is the Zachor. Right? What's Zachor? Right? That means to remember. And remember doing mitzvot. Okay? That means you have to light the candles and you have your su'udot and you light Havdalah candle, also very, very important, right? Candles are connected. And we make Kiddush and all these things that go under the banner of Zachor. So these are the positive, the mitzvot's ase. Cool. Which is more important? In other words, if you had a choice, or you had to choose some reason, if we were to create a scenario where you had to choose between the Shamor aspect or the Zachor, think about it, right? Which would take precedence? Okay? These are the mitzvot asei. Okay? So I'm stuck in a bind. For some reason, I found myself in a situation where I can do this or this. Shall I give you an example just to concretize it? So let's say I can...
can do this, lighting Friday night candles, but I forgot to light. Okay, happens. I forgot to light. Terrible thing to happen, but it happens. So now it's past Shkia, right? The sun has gone behind the horizon. Or it's at home and the stars are out. And I'm like, whoa, I want to be Mekadesh Es HaShabbos. But I've got a contradiction. These two have now come into battle with each other. I want to light candles because that's a very major part of the Zechira aspect. We're going to see Hadlakat Neiros is, ooh, very big mitzvah. Mekadesh HaYom, we bring the Shabbos in. But now it's flying in the face of Shamor. Now it's flying in the face of, you can't make a fire on Shabbat, right? Havara, Hadlaka. Uh-oh. But I got to do this. But I got to do this. Which one wins?
Shamor.
Why? They're both B'dibur Echad, both are mentioned. Now for us, it's, yeah, obviously. We know we don't light candles. But wait a minute. Let's think about this. Why should it be? We're going to break this down. Why should it be that the Zachor gets pushed away and we're like, oh, no. This is very, very important, big mitzvah. But you know what? Comes to it, Shamor takes over. Why should that be? Why will that do it to me? Yes.
Seems like a shining foundation. Like, not lighting fires with the foundation for lighting candles.
Say it again. Why would that be? Mehechatesa. I mean, you're saying something very important, but why would it be?
Not only say fluff, because it's just important, but it's, I don't know, it sort of like completely takes away the point of lighting candles if you're going to bring Shabbos to it.
But you know, we think there's a given. I'm trying to figure out why. You're absolutely right. We know that's halacha. All of you know we don't like candles. Shabbos comes in, you miss your opportunity, the window is passed, you can't do it. What I'm trying to figure out is, why would that be? In other words, it could have been, Hashem said, you know what? Bidi'eved. This is not the halacha, by the way. I'm very clear with you, Minky. This is not the halacha. But, lecha tchila, light the candles before. But yeah, it could have been that way. And we would have been like, okay, I hear. And Hashem said, you know, don't light candles. But you know what? If you forgot, it's such an important mitzvah, do it past Shkia, or do it past Eid HaKachavim, and we're going to allow it. But only for that. And in other words, it sounds absurd to us, because that's not the halacha. But it could have been. I want to get to the kishkas. I want to get to the kishkas of why it should be. What is it about the Shemira aspect that does it? I mean, we take it as a given. Yeah, it comes in. You missed it. Terrible, terrible, terrible thing. Right? I mean, there's many implications to this. Are you hearing my question? I mean, you're saying you're absolutely correct. But why? Why do we put so much emphasis on the Shemira aspect and suddenly comes as here? Right? Like, squeeze it out. I want to go to shul. Right? I'm a convert now, or a recent Baal Tshuva. I live in Yehupitzville, which is just outside, you know, well, if you're Jewish, New York, right? Somewhere far away, you know, middle of nowhere. And I want to celebrate Shabbat together with other people. I want to go to my temple, go to my synagogue. I want to have the meal with other people. So you're telling me that I cannot drive to my synagogue, but I want to have the meals with other people, enjoy the Shabbat experience, so I'll drive there. And you're like, no, you can't do that. What are you telling me by telling me that? That this takes precedence over this. Although, having the meal somewhere may not be Zachor at all, but you get the idea. We're saying, no, don't do that. No, you can't do that. It's not worth it. Shamor way outweighs this Zachor. But I want to go. I want to enjoy my Shabbat. You're telling me, you would rather, Rabbi, me sit at home by myself in the dark, well, turn the lights on before Shabbos, right? And do that rather than drive to another community and be with all these people, have a really spiritual experience with all these wonderful people and not. I didn't. Fine. I didn't go before Shabbos Tzar, Rachel. We're creating a scenario. We're creating a scenario where I didn't get to do that in order to bring this point out. This is how we study. All right, we've got to bring out a scenario. You're right. Before Shabbos, you should have called your local Chabad rabbi. You should have called NCSY. You should have called gone to Shabbat.com. Rabbi Klatska would have hooked you up with a beautiful Shabbat experience. You should call Rabbi Hagioff. He would have hooked you up with a great experience. But you didn't get to do that. Now you're stuck in a pickle.
And the pickle is?
Do I pick one? Kosher pickle, obviously.
Dill.
Do I pick one over the other? Do I do, not just eat dill pickles, just us Jews. Do I, do we, thank you, Rachel. Why do we pick one over the other? I'm being very serious. Like, we take it as a given, but we don't think about it, but it's based upon source of what? So you're saying like this. This is what people think, right? They think this is harder, so we should do this one.
No,
that's
why
that's not a reason to do something.
Why?
Why is he? What? Who says such a thing? Why do you say such a thing?
Because it's not these. I mean, I think because it's a whore, you could do it every day of the week.
No, Zohar, you cannot do every day of the week. I mean, Shabbat like, is only on.
Rules, but I'm saying, like, going to shul, you can do that every day.
I want to go on Shabbat. I want to go on Shabbat to shul to celebrate Shabbat. So every Shabbat, I'm going to go and I want to celebrate. And you're telling me that I got into a car?
Because once you start in the car, you can do something else that.
So you're saying, so you're saying slippery slope. You're saying slippery slope argument, which is once you start with a car, right, then the radio's on the car, and then you're cruising Friday night, and then the whole thing goes away. I'm saying there's something inherently wrong just with the shamor aspect being broken than this. Okay, I'm asking the same question in different forms, but it's the same question. And it can't just be, it's the harder thing. There's got to be something inherently about this that puts it ahead of the Zohar. Because both are Doraisa, both are from the Torah, both are put in the Aseret Dibro and different Luchot. Why should one win over the other? It just, there's nothing inherently visible that we accept it. Yeah, I know, but why? And other, quote-unquote, Jewish movements said no. They said no. They said actually Zohar wins over. And this actually, if it comes down to it, is what distinguishes the Orthodox from every other group in the Jewish world. We say, right, isn't it? Right, they say better to drive to shul. Better to drive to shul, right? Not a Baal Tshuva who's just getting observed, we'll talk about that. Or inviting your cousin over for Shabbos, we'll talk about that as well. Right, which we're going to find lenience for, right? Because we want to bring them, they're going to break Shabbos, we're going to get that. No. They created a platform, there's a difference. They created a platform by which we are saying, I mean, they didn't say this, I mean, in this scenario, but that's what they're saying. They're saying, better to drive to shul. Live far away. That's okay. Drive to shul every single week because this is more important than this. Now, we say there are times when this may be, right? But that is not the basic concept within Jewish thought when it comes to Shabbos. The basic concept is this is the ultimate goal. Sometimes we make exceptions, but we don't create a rule. Are you seeing the difference? Okay, so we're going to talk about the Kiruv Heter. I want to talk about it because the Kiruv Heter, I have people come to this sukkah, I have people come, right, and then leave. How could that be? I'm an Orthodox rabbi. Isn't that breaking what I'm telling you? So we'll see that this is discussed extensively in Halacha, how you can invite these people, when they can come, the way to do it, Friday night, Shabbos day. This is a big question always being asked, the way to do it. Okay? There's halachas over here, there's ways to do it, how we do it, why we do it, who we invite. We don't just do it. But that's sort of a platform. Even to those people who follow these heterim, those who are in Kiruv, or family members, you want, they will still say this wins over. There's an exception. There's an exception to most rules. But the rule still is the shamor wins over. Are we clear on this? Yes.
Don't you get greater reward when
okay, there is an idea mentioned in Pirkei Avos called Lufumsa Agri. You get greater reward for the more difficult thing. But I'm not saying this is more difficult.
I'm not saying it's more difficult.
As opposed, it's not so hard to get into a car and drive. What do you want to say? It's also not.
I'm not saying it's more difficult. I'm saying, like, if a parent asks you to clean your room versus you cleaning your room on your own.
Which I've never done, by the way, so I don't know what you're talking about, but okay, fine.
They say that you get a greater reward when you're asked.
You do. But what is that?
The fact that God's saying, don't do this.
Why should don't do this be better than do this? Hashem wants to do mitzvahs, not stay away from it. Hashem wants to do mitzvahs. Why should that win over? We all saying it's true. I'm just trying to, I don't think it applies over here. We don't just do it because it's more difficult. It may be more difficult to do the assay. We still have to do the assay. I mean, he was saying, I'm trying to go through my head right now, which is why the steam's coming out, trying to figure out if maybe there's an aspect of Lufam Sagra. You definitely get more reward from staying away from it. It is true. It does apply in the sense that
we'll see that when it comes to it, you pick one over the other, you get reward for the shamor. There's no doubt about it. But that can't be the root of it. We don't pick things because they're difficult.
Through the shamor, you understand
Zohar. Okay, we'll come to that. Okay, you're thinking a little bit now. It's good you're thinking. I'm not. You're right. I'm just trying to apply it here. There's got to be something inherently in the shamor more than just like it's tough and rabbis want to torture us. It's got to be right, and torture's good. It's got to be. It may be true. You're saying that we'll get more reward by resisting, but it can't just be that. Yeah.
Doesn't it say here that Hashem did the shamor, but it doesn't say did the zohar? So maybe that's why it takes.
Part. Okay. So we see Hashem refrains from the shamor aspect, but what we're going to do is why. What is it about that thing? Okay, so we're going to see. So let's get this a little bit. Okay. So he's going to pretty much give our... let's have a look at it. Yes, Rachel, sorry.
I mean, like, at the end of the day, aren't you just trying to emulate Hashem in everything you do?
At the end of the day, you are trying to emulate Hashem in everything you do, yes.
So if you... like, if he stopped, you stop.
Yes.
Period. Very good. It's great that you're going to enjoy it, but really yes. You're trying to connect.
All we're trying to figure out now is why. We're entitled to ask why. What is it about this that we should do it? Just like Hashem does chesed, we do chesed, we should look into the chesed, understand it, understand the details of it, there's halachas that are related to it, there's ideas behind it. What is it about humans do chesed? Okay? Same thing over here. We're just trying to figure out why. And hopefully by doing this, we'll get more out of it and more appreciation that, you know, one of the big problems... This is hot topic right now. Have you ever seen the Shabbos app thing?
Yes.
Well, that you've seen. Oh my God, that you've seen, right?
It's so cool.
Not. Does everyone know what the Shabbos app? Have you ever seen this whole thing?
No. I heard it.
Good.
What is it?
So I've done a fair amount of reading into what's available online on it. They've created, supposedly, seriously. I don't believe it's serious. I still can't. Maybe I'm hoping. I'm hopeful. Right? But they've created an app that allows you to use your phone on Shabbos without breaking halacha.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Fine. Good. You're right. You're right. That's not their discussion is not that. Their discussion happens to be, I mean, this is so top. I'm most topical course at Stern College. Like this Shabbos course is Shabbos project, Shabbos, they're all discussing this. Now you have the reason behind. They did find, I don't want to use the word loopholes. I don't like that word because it makes out as though you're going around the back door. They came out with halachic premises, which in some cases happen to be fairly accurate. Sometimes are actually false, actually, on the idea of keeping Shabbat, whilst at the same time getting to use your phone. And they went through detailed halachic aspects of melachot on Shabbat to try to help you use your phone. Okay, whether you're over on derises, truth be told, derises. Possibly. Drabonans, definitely. Okay. But they try to do it and try to give you this kind of reality when it comes to allowing you to use your phone on Shabbos. And one of the ideas was, I believe, people are doing it anyway. Let them do it in a kosher way. Right? Such an idea. Had a discussion with someone, actually. I had someone at my table last night, came for dinner, who was very pro it. And we got into a bit of a discussion about this. He's like, people are doing it anyway. They should do it in a, you know, a safe way. You know? Fine, let them use the phone in a kosher way. I have to agree with you, however, that it destroys every aspect that we have left of Shabbat. My wife goes crazy. My wife went to planet mental about this whole Shabbos app.
While you use it, then, like, it makes no sense.
So they do it in a way that it's on the whole time, not being, has to be plugged in. They've created a system.
It has to lose batteries. No,
it doesn't. If it's plugged, it uses battery.
Oh, you have to be plugged in.
I don't know all the detail. I'm just telling you. They did manage to work out luckily some kind of sense that goes with it, some rationale.
I mean, honestly,
but it makes no sense at the same time. Yes.
I don't really know about
this. Good.
Shh.
Very, very good. Very, very good. Excellent. You're asking very well. There are, no. We're going to see when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, there are times and ways to save lives. Okay, well, save a life, actually, you can be completely break Shabbat. But doctors, when they want to give prescriptions, for example, or something, they want to do something, they have certain lights they'll use, which are grama lights, which are created like a way. There's an institute in Eretz Yisrael that develops these things specifically, but to take it and use it in a social, and they work very hard to create these kind of systems for doctors and for emergency situations to lessen Shabbat, move it away from derais into derabanan. Okay, they'll do that. This, I believe, is a distortion of that, any money-making enterprise, although they don't say it is, that's what it is, in order to furnish. Yes, that's the premise. What I'm going to give you in this course is more than just the reason why it's done. I'm going to give next of it, we'll do the halachi aspects.
Wrong. This whole concept of this is wrong.
Yes, but we got to know more than just wrong. You know, we got to know what is the essence to it being so bad. And by the way, I mean, look, this is actually a real thing over here. I could turn around to you and say, you know what? My Shabbat is going to be enhanced through this. Some way I could prove to you that my Shabbos experience is going to be enhanced through this. And they'll say, well, what are they saying? I'm just breaking it down. They're saying, this Zachor part, which is the Shabbos experience, the ma'aseis that go with it, right, which is the nicest stuff, like the candles, right, and the nice stuff we do, and all the, which is important. They're saying, this is good. But, you know, this, we can finagle this. And that's what they're doing, right? Right? They're finagling this in order to do this. Right? And we'll see the rabbis are like, whoa! No, I mean, everyone's, why people come out so strong against it? These people want to get more people keeping Shabbos. And they're saying, no, 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 no! This Shamoris, this is what it's all about. Let's have a look at this. This is not a new discussion. This actually goes back to a Mishnah. The Mishnah says you may have a choice in the kind of lights that you want to use for your Shabbat candles. Right? We nowadays have nice candles made of wax or oil, but it used to be very pricey and difficult to get hold of olive oil. Okay? And the Mishnah in Shabbat discusses the different things you can use to light and not light. Right? We actually read this on Friday night in Shul by Mamad Likin, which is a chapter from Masechet Shabbat, about the things you can and cannot use on Shabbat. And we're going to see probably the reason why it is red. Let's have a look inside. So we know, we know that the lighting of the Shabbat candles is a big, big mitzvah. We'll discuss it later on in the semester, right? The Zechira aspect of lighting candles. Ooh, the rabbis make a big, big deal out of lighting the candles. Okay? Kedei sheitamer lehabayit ora, so that you have full in your home the light, right? You throw a shomba bayit, it brings shalom bayit, basically on a technical level, because without light you bump into each other, you get into arguments, right? You can't see the food, right? You put a fork in your eye. So one of the main reasons why there's meant to light candles is because we want to have light in the home. Okay? And that increases shalom bayit. And the Gemara speaks about it, she'amru she'im ein lo adam, that if a person only has rak shemen she'enu nimshach yafeh achat ha'petila. Let's say you have an oil that doesn't light so well. Right? Many plants and trees create oil. Right? Let's say you have an oil that doesn't come up so well. Right? Most nuts create oil. Right? Olive oil burns best and burns brightest, which is why it was used in the Mishkan and the Beit HaMikdash. But there are other oils. There are cooking oils that also burn, right? But they don't burn as nicely. So the Mishnah says some oils that you should use and some you shouldn't. What are they nervous about? Not that it's going to explode, no. Why would you move it? So what's going to happen? Speak it out. It's going to get low or it's going to crackle. And you're going to want to do what? Play around with the wick.
Right.
What's that going to do? You're going to break Shabbos. You're going to break Shabbos. Right? You start playing around with the wick, increasing the flame. It's one of the melachos of Shabbos. So the rabbis wanted to prevent that. And that's what the Mishnayos discuss. Are we together? They said, you know what? These oils don't use. I mean, they may actually work. But since the flame, as they say, jumps around, okay? She'enu nimshach. It doesn't follow yafeh achapatila. The wick doesn't gather it up well. It doesn't soak it up as well. Some oils get soaked up better than others. Olive oil soaked up, mwah, beautiful. Lights, nice. You see your Shabbos lights? Nice steady flame. You get some other oils in there, and it's crackling and popping and done, right? It goes down and may extinguish. What are you going to do? Oh! Lights are out. What do you do when the lights are out? You deal with it. You can't do that on Shabbos. So the Mishnah say, don't touch those things. Right? Or patilish in a bo roja feve in a or leba in yafe, or maybe the wick. Certain fabrics that are used, some pick up the oil well and some don't. Okay? La mozokuf, but mokamacha doesn't sit in one place, they're like flicking around the place. So the rabbi says, stay away from those things. Because they were nervous that you were going to play around. There's a discussion. Some disagree. Some believe this one's better than that one. Right? Some say you can use all. Right? And just be careful not to touch it. Some say, no, don't use all of them. Okay, there's a discussion of that in great detail. Okay? Ella ha'or, the flame jumps around on the wick. All of these, don't use on Shabbos. Mipnei, why? Follow inside. Chashash, there's a concern. Shama yitat haner v'yavor al iso Shabbos. Demavir, because maybe you'll come forward. You will pick up the wick with your finger or an implement, right? And you'll be over on one of the 39 malachas of Shabbos. B'kach nifsa b'halacha, that's the halacha. We don't use certain oils. Now we don't have to worry about this now because you go to the store, you buy Shabbos candles, that's the end of it, right? And all candles, pretty much, and all the oils that are available for Shabbos, light well. But the old days wasn't like this, and it was a discussion, right? You had to go find olive oil, have you pressed, and the others were cheaper, more available. So it was a discussion. What we have now in life today is nice, easy, beautiful, but that's not the way it is. She'en lo ladlik b'petila, it says, don't use these petila, don't use these wicks, and don't use these oils. Okay, that's the halacha. Ella, so let's say I'm stuck and I don't have the ones I'm allowed to have available. What do I do? I got a light. It's Zachor. I got a light. So I'll use the ones they say aren't permitted. And they say no. Better to sit in the dark. Ella, Yeshiv b'choshech, v'yisad, and eat. Who? Ubnei Beito, you and your family. So there we have it. I'll say, one second. There's a mitzvah of Zachor. And they're saying, Shamor wins over. Actually, not only does Shamor win over, what we can see very clearly from this example of the Mishnah and Shabbos of the wicks and candles, which is the ancient version, right? The modern one is driving, I guess, to shul or something, or to pick up a wick. I guess it would be a more, pertinent example. What they're saying is, even the possibility, not the definite. The rabbis say to us, even the possibility, because maybe your wick will start to jump around with these different oils, and maybe you'll forget it Shabbos and you will start to play around the wick. Just the possibility of this disqualifies this. Can you see that? Natalie, you following me? Just the possibility of breaking Shamor, because maybe that oil will not take nicely, and maybe I'll forget it Shabbos and I'll touch it. And they're like, maybe? Oh, even that wins over on Zachor. Even that wins. Can you see? We don't even want to play around with this. We're not saying definitely. Right? The example I gave is, it's Pasei Kohavim. It's Shabbos now. Do I light the lights? No. We're saying, even the possibility, Erev Shabbos, of lighting a candle is not going to light so well. Although you're lighting candles and lighting a wick and lighting an oil, which is good because now you're doing this chira, we're like, you make out to break Shabbos? No, don't even go there. So we're not like saying, this is kind of ahead. We're like, this is miles away. Like, there ain't no competition. Even the possibility of breaking this takes you away from this. So what do? You sit in the dark. But I'm not enjoying my Shabbos. Right? I'm sitting in the dark and I'm bumping into people. I can't see my food. I want to light a light. Can't do it. I'll light a light before Shabbos. Okay. It may go down a little bit, and there's a possibility remote that I'll forget it Shabbos. No. Don't do it. It ain't worth the risk. Staying away from the malachot stands way far beyond. Yes.
I don't think that explains why
Shamor is more. We're coming. Let's see. That's the introduction. I know. Look at you. You're so eager. No, don't apologize. I'm delighted. Let's turn over the page. Let's try to figure this out a little bit. Why this would be. Because on the face of it, both Daraisa, both should win over. 50-50. Don't flip a coin and take your bets. But now you're telling me even the possibility of it. That's getting weird. Something's going on. Can you see that? Can you see that? He still says like this. He said, in Hagotzu, look, Shatzma, this behavior, Shu Yoshev Achoshech, when you're sitting, so here you're, let's give the ancient example, the modern one. The ancient example is you got no light, you couldn't afford, you didn't have the olive oil, you couldn't light, you sit in the dark, you're miserable with cold food. Right? Just like the Karaites kept Shabbat, right? Or the Sadducees, whoever it is, right? Sitting there. What are you saying when you do this? You Yoshev Choshech, Mefached, that you're scared. Perhaps, Chas V'Chalila, heaven forbid, Yechalas HaShabbos. He's saying, whoa, I'm willing to sit in the dark because I'm really scared that I may possibly break Shabbos, i.e. break the Shamor aspect. Zehu Ata Lefi Mitzivo Ikar Kavod Shabbos Shu Mechoyev Bo. This, he says, is really what honoring the Shabbos is all about. You figured it out. You want to know what Shabbos is really all about? You sitting in the dark, not enjoying it, because you found yourself in a situation you didn't plan on. You now, oh, that's the ick of what Shabbos is all about. It's all about this. Va'kovod Shabbos hazeh, this giving honor to Shabbos by not breaking one of the malachot. Ha'mechuv ata doche, it pushes away it in an oneg, the oneg. Oneg is the pleasure aspect. Now remember, Shabbat is called, right? V'karata oneg, it's called oneg. We want you to enjoy. But we're saying it pushes, doche, it pushes it. This Shamor aspect pushes the pleasure aspect away. Not because Hashem wants to just torture us. It's not the reason. There's something about the Shmira aspect that really fulfills Shabbos in a big way. For any in a Shalom Bayit, and even Shalom Bayit, which Hashem is very, very into, and the rabbis are very, very into, you can even tell a lie, right, for Shalom Bayit. Right? We like Shalom Bayis. You know, Sarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that with Sarah and Avraham Avinu. You know, we want to do that. We're like, even Shalom Bayis gets pushed into the back burner. So something big is going on over here. Right? Rav, et inyan Shalom Bayit, amit kayam bederach klal alidei hadlakat ner. Even that is pushed away to make sure you don't possibly light the candle. The Yesh Banaga Zu, what are we saying over here? Hamuchav lefi mitzav shalot adam, such a person, Omeg Nifla, we're realizing something amazingly deep. Lavin, to understand, Hamashmu Shalok Shabbos. You see, Oneg Shabbos for us means one thing. Having a good time, eating the kugel and the cholent on Friday night, right? And all the Laffy Taffies, which I feed my kids, right? And all the candy. That's the Oneg Shabbos. That's it. He's saying no. He's saying that isn't only Oneg Shabbat. There's another aspect to Oneg Shabbos. So we're going deeper over here. He said, let's redefine that term. What's that? Lahavin, to understand, etim yuchad b'shmir Shabbos. How powerful Shmir Shabbos is. How important, how unique. Asher etzem Shmir Shabbos ole od yoter ala oeg. That actually, this idea of Shmir Shabbos, of not breaking the halacha, is now going to win over the Oneg aspect. The Oneg is going to be pushed away, and this is going to win over. V'zot, mipnei she'oneg Shabbat meviet Adam lahakir. Because what does Oneg Shabbos do? It brings a person to realize the love. When you're eating and enjoying and singing and the candles are lit and the food is warm and everyone's there doing Hilchos Shabbos. Ooh, fantastic. What do? Lahakir, you recognize. Et avatosha, l'karosh boch Yisrael. Hashem's love for the Jewish people. Remember the Ava aspect we discussed a few weeks ago? Right? Which shows Hashem loves us. He wants us to enjoy and celebrate together with Him. And Hashem's at the table. And we're enjoying it. That's so important. Absolutely. Shehu yitbarach mizmano. Hashem invites us. Remember this? We discussed this. El shulchano. To His table. Uma'ango ka'av ha'manegat bano yekaru. Like a father that rejoices with his son, right? Hashem invites, Hashem's our father, and he's invited to his table, we're enjoying, we're like, oh, see, Hashem loves us. That's the Oneg aspect. That's the Oneg aspect. Let me finish off. Aval. That's important. That's crazy important. That's Zechira. That's really important. That's enjoying the Oneg, the eating, and the mitzvot, and the assay, and Hashem's at our table. That's like big. But he says, however, Shmira Shabbat, B'shmir Shabbat meviata adam lakarat naluzu. That keeping Shabbat, i.e. not breaking the melachot, brings you to a higher recognition. It's higher. We're saying the Shmira is more important because it brings to higher recognition. Sheken, yesh l'adam Yisrael lirot, because every Jew has to see, et atzma, themselves, b'shivasam b'malachah b'yom Shabbos, by not doing malach on Shabbat, k'mish medaber l'borah, to be like God. Because just like you said, Tiffany, Hashem does mano malachah. We learn that from the man that fell down. So we stay away from malachah as well. We become like God. That's where the dimyon, that is where the comparison, right? That's where we see the image, right, of the person in the image of God, right, following God, lelechet bedurachav, following God's paths. How do we follow God's path? By doing this. The Shemira aspect is a higher thing. Oneg is great, so important. But if you didn't get to do it, mistake, you're stuck somewhere on the road, something happened, that's where your Shabbos is. Why? Because by doing that, you get to a higher recognition. Ma, hu yibarach barata olam, and that is that God created the world in 6 days. B'shem ha'bereishis, v'shabbos b'yom ha'shvi'i, and Shabbos on the seventh day. Kach kama adam nivra. So too Hashem creates, Shavas b'yom ha'shvi'i, mekom malacha, and stops on the seventh day. So it's actually the shamor aspect that makes you into God. And that is more important than the schira, which is the oneg aspect, which you're like a guest in God's house. What would you rather be? A guest or be like the host, as it were? And that wins over. Not so uncomfortable. I'm losing my own egg. I hear. But it's higher and it's greater. And if you have a choice, we, meaning halacha and Jewish thought and philosophy, says shamor wins. Yeah. Very good. So, because we want to, very good. So there's a basic idea which we're kind of like assuming over here, is that we have to follow in God's ways and emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a pasuk in the Torah, right? We want to follow God's ways. How do we, so one of the great ways to become like God, a certain thing God does that we do, right? Certain attributes Hashem has that we have as well, this is one of them. This is just one of them, and we get it through the Shemira aspect, but not so much the Oneg. The Oneg we have! Oneg is fantastic, but that's how we get it. Look at him. He's going to summarize it over here so nicely. Zu, we're going to see a few more answers. This is just one answer. Zuhi ba'atzma, this in itself, what we're discussing over here, ladies, godless, v'ramamos, nifla, this is the incredible, elevated and great aspect of wonder. Adma'od, extremely important. She'elam ala mimena, there's nothing greater than this. By staying away from malacha, you're like, I'm not doing anything, I'm passive. And the answer is no. You're actually doing something really incredible. You don't even realize what you're doing by keeping Shabbos. You're becoming like God. You may not feel like it, right? By not lighting a candle, or not, you know, being involved in borer, or killing an animal, or whatever the other 39, or writing. That's what's happening. It's worth knowing. Right? And he says, Yotem min akara. This is even greater than the knowledge that Hashem, Ba'avat Hashem, he saw that God loves us. You would have thought that's the top. Ba'avat Hashem l'kecha. Right? We love Hashem because Hashem loves us. You would have thought, oh, that's the top. We say, no. There's something greater than that. And that's being like him. Lefi, shekan masiga adam, hakara, because over here a person realizes, right? Shesheba kokol, that the person has this ability. Lehid damut, laboris brach v'isaleh. That you become like God. Humans have the ability to be like Hashem, to be like God. And to follow his ways. Mamish! Mamash! Actually, kefisha nagu yibarach, by doing this. So here we have one answer already. Now even this answer needs to be understood. But this is the answer. And that is because by not lighting the candles, we become like God. We move into a much higher plane. Or we are able to follow God's ways and be like God. We don't actually become God's servant of it. But we become like God when it comes to this. Okay. Questions? Quick one, because we have to do a quick revision.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is for, you give an example of one thing. You have to choose to either you lie or not lie.
Yes.
Yes. Before,
yes. Yes. Okay. So the answer is you don't lie. Right. That's the lacha.
If you have a person who doesn't keep Shabbat 12,
okay. So I want to discuss, I don't do that right now. I want to talk about a person who doesn't keep Shabbat at all and how to bring a person to Shabbat. That's not what we're discussing over here. But I'm going to discuss that because it usually comes up in here as well. Yes, yes, yes. We will bring it up and we'll see, God willing, next class, which will be before Shabbat, that there are ways to do this and to bring a person closer by it. But that's not what we're discussing. What we're discussing right now is the platform. Which do we consider more important? We are going to find exceptions to the rule. We are. We are. We're going to invite a person for Shabbat, right? Hopefully they arrive before Shabbat, which is how you're inviting them. If they want to leave Friday night, and you know they're going to leave, you don't lock the door, you know, button down hatches, and tie them down to a bed. They won't leave if they want to leave. Even though you know, chances are they are going to leave. If you have the ability for them to stay over, we'll see. Then you should offer them that. If they leave, they leave. Okay? So we're going to... But that's the thing with someone who hasn't got neither.
Right.
They don't know what's flying. But you've got an observant Jew, right, who follows the laws and knows the reason of the mitzvah there on Shabbos, and you're like, hey, you know what? Just drive over Shabbos afternoon. You can't do that. That's not an exception. Okay, let's stop over there. We'll pick this up next class.